Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. Everything's a little bit weird, and if you're wondering why, it's because, well, my computer seems to be having mass amounts of issues. I don't know why. It just is. So, if you can barely hear me, if everything's problematic, well, I'm really sorry. There's not a whole lot I can do about it. I'm doing my best. I don't know if my mic's real loud, so I'll come a little bit closer, so hopefully you can hear me. I won't explain it all, but hey, we're together nonetheless, and we'll see if we can make it work. If you can't hear me and I'm blabbing to no one, well, you're not going to know what I'm saying anyway, so that doesn't really matter. Either way, daily devotion time. We've been working our way through the book of James. If it's your first time here, a very warm welcome to you. If you're returning, I really appreciate the fact that you're back here again. If you're not in up to the loop with what's going on in New Zealand, well, we've been transition to level 2, but unfortunately we can still not gather as a church, so that's awkward, but hopefully it'll change soon. One thing I would like to mention is that if you have the opportunity, I'd really appreciate some feedback on the devotions, just around things like whether it's being appreciated, not whether it's appreciated as much as just frequency and timing, because with going back to level 2, we're able to do visitations and stuff like that. However, if this is a blessing to you, I would like to still figure out a way if I can still do it. If you're sort of thinking work's going to start back up and you're probably not going to watch anyway, I'd actually really like to hear that, because if most people are sort of feeling, well, I haven't really got time to tune in anyway, that's going to help me make that decision. So feel free to send me an email or send me a message or ring me up. I won't be offended if you say, well, you know, I'm not going to be tuning in at all. That's not going to upset me at all. But either way, if you've got your Bibles, how about we open up to the book of James? It's the last time we're going to be in James, which is, I don't know about you, but it's a little bit sad. I've really enjoyed working our way through James, and we're coming to an end. But before we turn to James, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the weekend and the time worshipping you on Sunday and the gathering of your people. And Lord, we pray that as we begin our devotions again this week, that you would meet with us throughout this week in your word, and that you would bless us with yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, James 5, end of James 5. In fact, the last two verses of the book. James 5, 19 to 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wanderings will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Well, it's really the closing exhortation of James. It's really him finishing off his letter with one final word, one real call to action. And it's actually a very fitting call to action. We've seen as we've traveled through the letter that James has addressed behavioral problems, lived out problems. He's dealt with people not accepting and trusting God and the suffering that they're under. We've seen James correct the use of the tongue. We've seen James exhort people to prayer. We've seen James rebuke people for worldliness. And now he's going to finish off really by urging one another to call one another out. To call one another out to follow and obey his teaching. And that when someone doesn't do that, we are to go to them and correct them. Now, correction is probably not a very popular thing in our time. In a period of history and culture and society where truth is somewhat relative, that, you know, things are subjective. In other words, you can believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe. And that's okay. The most important thing is that we get along. And this sort of thinking has crept into the church quite a bit. So you can go to churches And it doesn't really matter what theological position you hold. It doesn't really matter what you believe about the Bible, what you believe about God, what you believe about Jesus. As long as we're all loving to one another, as long as we all build one another up, as long as you don't try and convince me to change my mind. And maybe you've had this conversation with people, either in the church or non-Christians, where people say things like, I'm really glad you have your opinion, but I have my opinion. And let's just let bygones be bygones. We'll all just get along as long as no one tries to convince anyone else to have a different perspective. Maybe you've heard that before. Well, James would vehemently disagree with that attitude. Very strongly disagree with that attitude. And the reason he would strongly disagree with that attitude is that James knows, as you should know and as I should know, that there is one source of truth. And there is one type of living that is approved by that truth. And therefore, you are either right or wrong. Let me say that again. There is one source of truth, the Bible, and there is one right way of living, which is in accordance with that truth. And therefore, you're either right or wrong. Well, with that in mind, James uses a really beautiful imagery, really, to help us think through this. He talks about the wanderer, and you could think about this many different ways. You could think about it in the form of a sheep, a wandering sheep, or you could think of about it like a lost traveler. You could use a bunch of different images, but I want us to think about this, thinking of like the hiker. Now, the hiker walking through an unfamiliar territory. He's decided to go for a hike in a place which is not particularly well known. He's never walked there. And there's a trail, but the trail's quite thin. It's hard to see. Maybe you've done this before. You go on a hike, and I remember being a kid and my dad explaining to me, stick to the path. You know, you follow the path, and there's the little triangles that tell you where to walk and things like this. And this man's going for a walk. And as he's going for a walk, he starts on the straight path. And as he's following the path, he begins to wander. He's following the path, and off to the side, he sees something interesting. Maybe he sees a beautiful bird or a stunning flower, and he thinks, oh, that looks really interesting. I want to go have a look at that. And he wanders from the path and walks over to this thing in the distance over there. And as he walks off on his way over there, eventually, after looking, he can't find his way back again. And he's outside of the safe path now. He's somewhere else. He's not safe and secure in the path, in the truth that we're going to call it. He is now a wanderer. He has wandered away from the right path. He's wandered away from the truth. And James says, if there's a wanderer who wanders away from the truth, and you go and get him, so there's a problem, isn't there? The problem is the man who's wandered off. But if you're on the right path and you see him wandering out there and you think, oh, there's a man out there. He's wandering. He's looking a bit lost. I know the path. I'm on the good path. And you know, you tie a rope around your waist, you tie it to a tree next to the good path, and you walk out and you go get him and you bring him back. This is the type of imagery James is using of a lost person and someone who knows the way, going out and getting them and bringing them back. And James says, if you wander away from the truth, or rather, if you see someone wandering away from the truth and you go out and get him and bring him back, you have saved his soul. And not only have you saved his soul, but you've covered a multitude of sins. You've hidden sins and others. You've prevented a plethora, a multitude of sins from potentially happening. So what's James getting at? What's his point in saying this? Well, firstly, his point is that it's important for us to correct people who are wrong. And I know that's not popular. And I know in the Christian world that cannot be popular. There are a lot of Christians, well, maybe not a lot, I don't know, but there are Christians who don't think theology matters all that much. You know, theology doesn't matter, knowledge doesn't matter, as long as you have a relationship with Jesus. Well, James is saying it matters. And in his picture here, the wanderer is heading to no salvation. See, that's what he means by the restoration, by if you go out and get the wanderer and bring him back in, he's saved. In other words, he is in the danger of not being saved out there. And so you go out, and it's not that you save him, but you're the method that God uses to ensure their salvation. So truth really matters. And correcting people matters. Theology matters. What you believe really matters. Because if you believe wrong, I like to put it this way. Theology, correct theology doesn't save you. Okay? Your theological construct, the way you define what the Bible teaches, that will not save you. It's only faith in Christ that saves you. It's only Jesus that saves. But, so theology doesn't save you, but a bad theology, an incorrect theology, will send you to hell. Why do I say that? Well, we know it's only by Jesus that we're saved. It's trusting in Christ that we're saved. But if you believe wrongly, if you believe that Jesus is not God, if you believe that there's no Trinity, if you believe that you're saved by works, if you believe you're earning your salvation, even though you say you come to Christ and yet you firmly believe you are earning your salvation, or you firmly believe Jesus is not God, will you be saved? There's danger there, isn't there? So theology matters. And James is worried that people in the church are going to hear the teaching and they're going to stay in falsehood out there. And they're going to keep walking in falsehood and they're going to keep sinning because they're not listening to the truth, and therefore they're endangering their very souls. And so what James wants you and I to do, you and I who claim to have good theology, claim to understand the Bible, claim to be walking in the truth, we are to go out to them and say, brother, sister, let me point you to the truth. Now, it's very important that we pause here and ask ourselves, what does he mean by pointing someone to the truth? By restoring someone to the truth? Does he mean restoring them to my understanding of the truth? Or is he talking about my church's doctrine? What's he mean by the truth? And I think the most simple way of understanding James is that he's saying, if you restore him to the truth of the gospel, if you restore him to the truth that we find in the Word of God, then that will restore the person. You see, what we're trying to restore people to is not our own understanding. I mean, you and I might have a different theological understanding of the Word of God. You and I might have different opinions on church polity, on baptism, on many other things. You may disagree with me on Calvinism. You may disagree with me on a whole bunch of different things. But the important thing, and just to put it in the concept of the wanderer, there's the wanderer out there who disagrees with you completely on an issue. What are you going out and calling them back to? You're going out and you're calling them back to the Word of God. You see, because my interpretation and my understanding is fallible, broken, and liable to sin. But the Word of God isn't. So we go out to the person and we say, is your understanding, is your belief, is your practice in line with the Scriptures? If it's not, let me show you the truth. Because this is the only guide that's going to maintain us. But isn't it a wonderful hope that we might go out to a wandering brother or a wandering sister and go out and point them to the truth and that their soul might be saved? And that we might prevent a myriad of sins from taking place? And that's a blessed hope, isn't it? A blessed privilege to be in. So what should we do? Well, let me exhort you this afternoon to know the Word of God well, because you can't correct unless you know the Word of God. Let me exhort you to know the Word of God well and then be bold enough to go to a brother and sister, to go to a wanderer and point them to the truth. But then lastly, let me exhort you not only to know the Word of God, not only to go out to the wanderer, but as Paul would say to the Ephesians, to speak with truth and love. And you remember elsewhere, Paul says, when you go to rebuke a brother because of his sin, be very careful lest you yourself fall. In other words, it's not just about declaring truth. It is about declaring truth, but it's not just about declaring truth. It's about declaring truth, knowing the truth, living the truth. So you hear those three realities? We have to know the truth, declare the truth, and live the truth. And sometimes it's the living of the truth that is going to win our brother or sister back to the right way. Well, it's a tall order, isn't it? In a time when really correction and rebuke are pretty strongly hated. If the elders turn up at someone's house to correct them, the world looks at that like utter madness. A lot of the church looks at that like utter madness. But you know, the Word of God doesn't. God calls us to do it. So let's be bold. Let's be boldly loving with the truth. And maybe, just maybe, we might save someone's soul. Or should I say, God might save someone's soul through our obedience to the Word of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that your Word is true. We recognize, and Lord, we repent for the fact that we so often are scared and timid of confronting people with your Word. And so often, Lord, it's because we want people to like us. We are worried what people will think of us. And so we pray that you would help us to be bold, help us to be courageous, help us to love you and to love your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks very much for tuning in this afternoon. Like normal, as of tomorrow, we're going to be starting a new book at this stage. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter, which will be exciting. So if you haven't read through 1 Peter, I'd encourage you to pick it up and have a breeze through it over the next day. It's not very long. It's only 5 chapters. It'll probably take you about 25 minutes to read through. So have a read through 1 Peter, and we'll see you tomorrow in 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, the Lord's richest blessings to you, and I will see you all tomorrow at 3:30. God bless.